Thank you for joining us for Care No Matter What, the Planned Parenthood Arizona podcast. And now, your host, Ethan Cox, Director of Development.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for another Planned Parenthood Arizona Care No Matter What podcast. We've got a great conversation today with the board chairs and vice chair of Planned Parenthood Arizona. A lot of really interesting and exciting things coming up on the horizon, and we thought this would be a great time to bring all of you up to date on what's happening. So I'm going to start out first by introducing our three guests, and then we'll get into it. Angela Flores is currently Chief Development and Marketing Officer at Valle de Sol, where she has worked for the past 8.5 years, and is an experienced Chief Development Officer and Leadership Development Professional with a demonstrated history of working in the nonprofit healthcare industry. Skilled in board relations, resource development, nonprofit development, diversity and inclusion, and nonprofit board leadership, she is a strong fund development professional with a Bachelor of Arts from Arizona State University. Xanthia Angel Walker is an ensemble-based theater artist, director, facilitator, producer, and educator. She works locally, nationally, and internationally at the intersections of multi-generational collaboration, site-specific performance, justice, dialogue, and community. She earned an MFA in theater for youth from Arizona State University. Xanthia is a producing artistic collaborator with Rising Youth Theater, whose mission is to imagine and build the world we want to live in through youth-driven, multi-generational collaboration, and justice-centered artistic process and performance that generates reflection, connection, and action. Xanthia is also a member of the Las Fronterizas Ensemble and a certified facilitator of Liz Lerman's critical response process. She's also the winner of the 2015 Phoenix New Times Big Brain Award in Performing Art. Her writing is featured in the anthology Staging Social Justice, Collaborating to Create Activist Theater. And last but certainly not least, we're joined by Carminia Munoz. She's currently Director of Alumni Relations for Teach for America, a diverse network of leaders who confront educational inequity by teaching for at least 2 years and then working with unwavering commitment from every sector of society to create a nation free from injustice. Carminia received her bachelor's degree from City University of New York, John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and received her Juris Doctorate from Quinnipiac University School of Law. Fluent in French, Spanish, and English, Carminia is a passionate advocate for education equity and reproductive freedom. Thanks to all three of you for being here today. I'm so excited to have a few minutes to talk with you and the exciting future of Planned Parenthood. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Angela, I want to start off by asking you about your overall vision for Planned Parenthood Arizona in the coming year. With such a long and strong nonprofit background, I have to imagine you have some big but practical plans and dreams.
Thanks for the question, Ethan. I don't know that they're my dreams or plans. I think that they're what the entire board has been working towards for probably the last 5 years or so. And really, that's ensuring that the leadership of this organization reflects the patient population that we serve. The goal is to really ensure that as decisions are made, that we're considering all of the needs that our patients have, but also thinking about the intersectionality of the things they're experiencing that bring them to us to begin with, right? So not being singularly focused, even if reproductive health is our mainstay.
Xanthia, what more can you say about the vision for the next year?
Well, I would just say, you know, we're at such an incredible moment of transition right now organizationally, and it is truly a beautiful opportunity for us as a board of directors to be in partnership with staff and with stakeholders and with our patients to really build the next phase of what Planned Parenthood Arizona is, what shape our organizational structure takes, and how we can really, really walk the values of our mission as fully as possible.
Yeah, and I think that we're really fortunate to have a PPAZ board who is so passionate about that and acts as really great stewards of an organization that has been here, I'm guessing, longer than all of us. Carminia, I know that you'll soon be stepping into the chair role. How do you see yourself supporting Xanthia and Angela in their roles currently? And what are some of your dreams for PPAZ in the coming year?
So I'm excited to step in as co-chair and to continue the shared leadership model that we've been working with this year and moving that forward. I see my role as bridging the experience of our board and of the work that Planned Parenthood is doing from the pre-COVID times, where for a lot of different reasons, things were very different. And over the last year, we've been experiencing, you know, a lot of change and seeing what that's going to look like for the coming years and what differences we might need in order to make that happen. I think my dreams for PPAZ, especially in the next 1 to 2 years, are for this to continue to be a place where people love to work and where the passion that people have for our mission translates more fully into how the work is done day to day, how our patients experience Planned Parenthood and experience visiting here, and how we all as patients ourselves of Planned Parenthood continue to see that play out. Not just from a board position, but also as somebody walking through the doors for services.
You said something really interesting in your answer. You mentioned shared leadership. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, for us, it looks like, you know, there's three of us here right now having this conversation instead of just a co-chair, instead of just a single board chair, which is very different, requires, you know, additional emails, additional communications for clarity, because usually a form might ask for a singular name, and that's just not how we work. It means that we have more perspectives in the mix when we're making decisions, which can, in the front end, feel like it slows things down, but it does it in a way that will make sure that we have fewer hiccups along the way, because we've taken more into account on the front end. And it sets us up for, you know, planning for the long term. I'm expecting a smoother handoff in leadership over the next several years, because I've been part of this conversation now as vice chair and have been in almost every of the conversations and tables and rooms that Angela and Xanthia are in. And so moving forward, as I step into co-chair and we bring somebody else in, that we can continue a more seamless plan as we move through board leadership and including more board members throughout the process of our leadership as well.
I think that's one of the things, if I can jump in, that is most fascinating about how we've set this up, is because it allows for consistency in transition. So at no point in time are we losing the road that we're going on, or are we seeing one individual's vision of the road completely sideline what the entire board has decided is the path, right? And so holding that amongst multiple people ensures that we don't get stuck in weeds, or that we don't veer off, but that we stay steady. And that's really important in this work, because so much of it can be volatile.
Yeah, and I've got to believe it must create a real cohesiveness.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a space for accountability. I think it's explicitly a design that's about power sharing and equity, and making sure that we as board leadership are able to work with the board at large to come to consensus and act on things, instead of a singular person being the buck stops here kind of a situation.
So, Xanthia, I know it can be easier sometimes to see what's wrong with an organization, but what do you think Planned Parenthood is getting right at this moment in time?
A lot of things. I mean, we, as Planned Parenthood, are out in the world in advocacy, in education, in deep community relationships, and accessible healthcare that is human-centered and patient-centered. And those things have been happening for over 80 years at our affiliate. And that is remarkable, and that has not changed. And I would say that I've observed over my 6 years on the board, the organization understanding more and more deeply what it means to actually do that work and to continue to deepen in responsiveness, in collaboration, and in accountability to the communities that we serve and the communities that we're a part of. And so I think that the organization is doing a lot that is right. And I would also say, particularly over the last year, negotiating the pandemic, I have been incredibly inspired by all of the ways in which staff and volunteers have like risen to the occasion so completely.
Yeah, it's inspiring to see for sure. So this next question is for all three of you. Planned Parenthood is clearly a well-known but sometimes controversial organization. What draws you to this work and why is it so important? Carminia, let's start with you.
I, as I mentioned, am currently a patient of Planned Parenthood, but have been a patient over the years, initially starting when I was 18. And I came to Planned Parenthood for the very first time for birth control, and then came back to Planned Parenthood to have an abortion as an 18-year-old. And I remember very little about having an abortion because it was like as much as I remember about getting my annual checkup, right? It was not a life-altering, momentous, difficult decision that I had to make. It was a very clear-cut decision for me. I was living in New York at the time. The only thing I remember was the hordes of protesters outside and how annoying it was that I had to get by a crowd of protesters to go to a doctor's appointment. And this work is passionate. I'm really passionate about this work because I don't think people should have to experience that in order to go about their regular medical care. And I know, you know, Angela mentioned the intersectionality of the work that we do. And the reason I had to take a 40-minute train ride downtown to Planned Parenthood was because at the time I was, you know, I grew up in, you know, a list of the ideas of what our patients are. You know, I was living in a low-income community, single-parent household. I was, you know, a litany of things. But I was also a college student. I was also applying on my way to start applying to law schools in a few years. I was also a great daughter and sister and aunt. And I just want our work and the access to our work to be that so that people don't have to choose between those two lives, right? You can live in that middle ground where both of those things can be true, where you are growing up in a community and you are also thinking about and empowering yourself and those around you. And I think just Planned Parenthood affords a lot of people the ability to do that through the services that we offer.
Yeah, I love that those who receive services from Planned Parenthood are integrated into the board. The organization that I came from before this, there were basically two client positions on the board, and then there was no representation throughout the rest of the board. So to actually have people who are service recipients serving on the board, it brings such a depth of understanding to the work that we do. So definitely thank you for that. Angela, what are your thoughts about this?
So I'm a patient too. I think about 50% of our board actually are patients.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think autonomy over our bodies is one of the most basic human rights that we have. And I'm really passionate about my community being able to dictate their own story and their own future, and being able to choose where you get healthcare, how you get healthcare, what kind of healthcare you get, right? Being able to choose when you have a family, all of those things are critical for our community to be able to move and continue moving into solid middle class status. But additionally, I think there's something really empowering about walking into a Planned Parenthood. I can only speak for myself, but even before I was a board member, there's something really amazing about the kind of space that Planned Parenthood creates. Obviously, historically, that has not always been the case. And so one of the reasons why I continue to do this work is I really do believe that our communities deserve the best and they deserve the experts in their field and they deserve so much more than what current healthcare offers, right? And having access to quality healthcare should be one of our most basic rights. And Planned Parenthood offers that. And so I continue to champion service centers being open to all of the communities that we serve.
Xanthi, I'd love to hear from you too about this. Why PP and what helps you soldier on in spite of some serious external roadblocks that get thrown our way all the time?
Because I know that every human being deserves affirming, excellent, accessible healthcare. I mean, period, right? And so if we're saying every human, that means that we really make sure that every human has access to those things and every human is deserving. And so I really see Planned Parenthood as a part of the ecosystem of organizations that are committed to that work. And so I'm so proud to be here. And I'm also a patient. And I, you know, I had an abortion when I was 29 at PPAZ. And then I joined the board 6 months later. And I, you know, I had such an affirming experience that I knew I needed to be a part of making sure that experience was afforded to as many people as wanted it.
I love it. So great. So I'm gonna isolate this one to Angela. Angela, last summer, the Black Lives Matter movement was front and center in the national conversation about the brutal murder of George Floyd at the hands of police. Planned Parenthood Arizona made a public statement about BLM and contributed financial support towards the Phoenix BLM group. With so much going on in our world today, why was it important for PPAZ to speak up about this? Were there any fears around losing donors or supporters or just general backlash?
Sure. I think it's important to note that the intersections of access to reproductive health care, justice, and poverty cannot be overstated. And I think our hope as the board was that donors who may not have shared experiences of the servant leaders like those on this board or patients we serve and community leaders that we join in partnership with would join us as we leverage the social capital of Planned Parenthood Arizona to bring light to issues like the murder of George Floyd. There are thousands of donors who are already on board and understand how the largesse of Planned Parenthood can help bring new champions to supporting grassroots, BIPOC-led, BIPOC-centered organizations and causes, right? I mean, we know that there's a ton of donors out there that are willing to do that work with us. Was there backlash? Of course there was going to be backlash, right? But I choose to believe that there are more donors in the camp of either wanting to understand this work or already understand this work. So standing on the right side of history is not something we can shy away from because we are afraid of losing donor dollars.
Absolutely. It feels almost like a responsibility to stand
Absolutely.
Up in that space.
I think it's one of the things that Planned Parenthood has to learn, especially organizations like Arizona. Historically, nonprofits are taught to think of their donors and their dollars in a scarcity mindset. Right. When you look at the organizations, particularly here in Phoenix and the Metro Phoenix area, but even some in Tucson, where we've got BIPOC leaders who are surviving on very minimal funds to do such incredible work. Right. And for an organization as large as Planned Parenthood, with frankly the deep pockets that we have and the kind and generous donors that we have, we want to make sure that we're connecting those two things together, because in the end, those same donors that helped champion Planned Parenthood to get us to this state of stability, especially financially, those same donors certainly, I think, would support the missions of many of the BIPOC organizations here in Arizona.
And I have to guess that as a fellow fundraiser, not on this specific topic, but there are topics that'll come up in an organization and people will say, no, that'll scare our donors away. But I think the thing that's always forgotten is, what doors are we opening to new and incredible donors that we've never been able to get in front of before because we've been caught in a certain place. And sure. So, yeah, it's easy to say, oh, here's what we're going to lose. But I think that there's so much more to gain by, you know, just being your true, authentic self, whether that's as an individual, as an organization, whatever that may be true and authentic all the time, I think is really vital.
And I would say if I could build on that a little bit, I think, you know, we know that we are either standing in the responsibility of dismantling white supremacy or we're upholding it. And we know that as Planned Parenthood, we have to be standing in the responsibility of dismantling. And that's our work.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where we can say, well, that's not our lane to be in right now. It's just everyone's got to be in that lane.
Yeah, we say care no matter what.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Turn it around. So, Carminia and Xanthia, there is a saying that the future is female. And in a lot of ways, I sincerely hope that that is true. Seeing the recent ascension of Kamala Harris to the U.S. vice president gives me a lot of hope. If I do get my wish, and the future truly is female, how does our community and world look? Xanthia, let's start with you.
Well, I would say, you know, I think the future is female, and it's also trans and non-binary and queer. And I think that those futures present a radical imagination that I'm so inspired by. So I think when trans folks, when queer folks, when BIPOC humans are centered, everyone in the world is lifted.
I want to change it to the future is queer. I love that. Carminia, how about you?
Yeah, I work, my day job is in education, and I also have a kindergarten daughter. And so the present is very female, and leadership right now is young and female and Black and Indigenous and people of color. And so I think it looks like a world where, you know, we are thinking beyond anything that the four of us in this room can even imagine right now. We are ignoring or just eliminating the sort of structures or barriers that I have historically accepted as just, well, that's the way it's been, and haven't been able to imagine something different until I was in adulthood. And I'm truly seeing in school-aged children being able to say, well, that's bullshit. And being able to say, well, no, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for my family that is multiracial, that has mixed immigration status, that is queer, that is non-binary, that just, your rules don't apply to me. So I'm going to make up my own rules. And so I'm really excited to be able to see what this future looks like, where people are really just creating the world that they need in order to be able to not just survive, which a lot of communities have been doing, but to be able to truly thrive and excel and bring their the power and the talent and the knowledge that they already have and hold, and be able to amplify that and continue to, you know, put their communities and themselves in the spotlight.
I love that. And I think that sounds like a great place to wrap it up. I just want to thank all three of you for being here today. This was a really, really great conversation. I know that a lot of folks that are not necessarily checking in with what's happening at Planned Parenthood or Planned Parenthood Arizona every day may not know, you know, that we're going through some really incredible uplifting change right now that will, I hope, transform this organization for the next century. So thanks to all of you for the work that you're doing. And thanks to all of you for listening. And we'll look forward to seeing you again on our next Care No Matter What podcast. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate and subscribe on iTunes. See you next time.